Few figures in Arthurian legend are as mysterious as the Black Knight. He appears time and again, lurking in the background of many stories, a shadowy warrior whose name is rarely known, but whose presence is always felt. To some, he is an unyielding challenger, testing the worth of those who seek glory. To others, he is a noble figure in disguise, hiding his true identity for reasons only he understands. And in the darkest versions of the story, he is something else entirely, a fallen knight corrupted by treachery, a force of destruction rather than honor. Most scholars believe the Black Knight was never a single man, but rather an archetype, a recurring test for Arthur's greatest warriors. Yet for the purpose of this story, we will treat him as a single solitary figure whose legend wove through the fate of Camelot itself. He crossed swords with Arthur, clashed with Lancelot, and haunted the path of Gawain, forever standing as both a challenge and a warning. This is the story of the Black Knight of Arthurian legend. The Black Knight's origins are as uncertain as the man himself. No single tale claims to be the definitive truth, only fragmented whispers passed down through time, each offering a different version of the legend. In some, he was a noble warrior who fell from grace, abandoned by his king or betrayed by those he once trusted. In others, he was something darker from the very start, a force of chaos, untouched by the bonds of loyalty or law, appearing only when fate demanded it. One of the oldest stories tells of a knight who once stood among the greatest in Britain, sworn to protect his kingdom and uphold the chivalric code. He was loyal, fearless, and unmatched in skill, but his unwavering sense of honor became his downfall. The tale says that his king, envious of his prowess, sent him on an impossible mission, one that was never meant to be completed. Alone and outnumbered, the knight was left to die on the battlefield, his name erased from the records of history. But death never came. Some say he was saved by a dark force, one that offered him another chance, on the condition that he would never again fight for a king, never again bow to any law but his own. And so he cast off his name, his past, and his loyalties, becoming the shadow that knights would come to fear. Another version tells of a knight exiled from Camelot itself. Some claim he was once seated at the Round Table, a brother in arms to Arthur and his greatest warriors. But something changed, whether it was an act of treachery, a crime he could not take back, or a curse laid upon him, the stories do not agree. Whatever the cause, he was cast out, stripped of his title, and forced to wander the land. But he did not vanish. Instead, he donned black armor and swore that if he could no longer be a knight of Camelot, he would be the one to test those who claimed to be worthy of the title. In some versions of the legend, the Black Knight was not a lone warrior, but a creation of Morgan herself, a guardian forged through sorcery, bound by an oath to serve her will. Some claimed he was a fallen knight whom she had resurrected, binding his soul to an unbreakable suit of armor, ensuring he would fight until the end of time. He was her enforcer, appearing whenever she needed a knight of Camelot humbled or a champion defeated. If Arthur's warriors ventured too far into her territory, if they threatened her plans, the Black Knight would be waiting. Then, there are those who believe he was never a man at all. Some say he was a spirit, a phantom knight who rose from the remains of fallen warriors, those who died betrayed, those whose battles were never finished, those whose souls burned for revenge. According to this legend, the Black Knight is not one man, but many, a lingering force bound to the battlefield, appearing whenever knights grow too arrogant, too sure of their own strength. No matter which story one believes, one thing remains the same. The Black Knight is always a challenger, never a follower. He does not seek glory, nor does he serve any king. He exists outside the order of the world, bound only to his own code, appearing when fate calls him to fight. And when he does, it is never a battle for riches or land. It is a test, one that only the strongest can hope to survive. The Black Knight was not just feared for his skill in battle. His very presence was enough to make even the bravest warriors hesitate. He was a figure wreathed in mystery, a specter on the battlefield whose name was spoken of in both awe and dread. Not to be confused with Sir Morian, who was also known as the Black Knight due to his darker skin and Moorish heritage. No knight who crossed his path could ignore the sheer weight of his presence, the way he seemed to carry an unspoken challenge with every step. He was not merely a warrior. He was an obstacle, a force of reckoning, a reminder that even the strongest could fall. His armor was the first thing anyone noticed. Unlike the shining steel of Arthur's knights, the Black Knight was clad in jet-black plate, devoid of markings or heraldry. The darkness of his armor absorbed the light, giving him an almost spectral quality, as if he were less a man and more a living shadow. Some said the armor was cursed, that it was fused to his body, making it impossible for him to ever remove it. Others believed it was forged from otherworldly metal, unbreakable by mortal hands. His helmet was equally unnerving. In most versions of the legend, his face was never seen. His visor was always shut, concealing his features and making it impossible to know if there was even a man beneath the steel. Some claimed they had seen glimpses of his eyes through the slits, burning red like embers in the dark. Others swore that when he raised his visor, there was nothing but darkness inside, as if he were a hollow shell, an empty suit of armor moved by something not of this world. The Black Knight's physical stature only added to his legend. He was said to tower over most knights, his frame thick with muscle, his presence immense. When he rode into battle, his black warhorse matched him in size and menace, a beast as tireless as its rider. Some swore the horse itself was not a creature of flesh and blood, but something unnatural, an entity summoned from the depths of some forgotten realm, its eyes filled with the same eerie fire that seemed to flicker within its rider's helm. But it was not his appearance alone that made the Black Knight a legend. It was the way he fought. He did not fight with the grace of Lancelot, nor with the raw strength of Gawain. His style was cold, relentless, and precise. He did not waste movement, nor did he hesitate. Every strike was delivered with brutal efficiency, each one carrying the weight of a man who fought not for glory, but for something deeper. His sword was massive, larger than any ordinary knight should have been able to wield, yet he swung it with terrifying ease. Shields shattered beneath his blows, armor dented, and men who had bested dozens of opponents before him found themselves struggling to even stay on their feet. Unlike other knights, he rarely spoke. He issued no threats, made no boasts, and did not engage in the banter that so often accompanied duels. When he appeared, he simply raised his sword. That was his challenge. A knight could either meet it or step aside. But the strangest thing about the Black Knight was his endurance. No matter how many wounds he suffered, he never seemed to falter. Some knights swore they had run him through, only for him to rise again as if nothing had happened. Others claimed that no one had ever seen him fall in battle, that even when defeated, he simply vanished into the mist, only to appear again elsewhere, as if death could not touch him. Some believed this was proof that he was something beyond mortal, a revenant, a warrior cursed to wander forever. Others thought it was merely legend, a way to explain the fear that surrounded him. But those who had faced him knew the truth. The Black Knight was no ordinary man. King Arthur was no stranger to battle. He had fought giants, dragons, warlords, and sorcerers, but few battles left him as shaken as his encounter with the Black Knight. Unlike the enemies he had faced before, the Black Knight had no army, no kingdom, no grand ambition, only the cold certainty of battle. And that, in many ways, made him even more dangerous. Arthur's clash with the Black Knight began as many of his adventures did, alone, riding through the wilds in search of a challenge. The king had often set out on such journeys, eager to test himself against the unknown, to prove that he was not just a ruler, but a warrior still worthy of his throne. This time, his path led him deep into a mist-shrouded valley, where an ancient stone bridge arched over a narrow river. It was an old crossing, likely built in a time before Camelot's rise, but as Arthur approached, he saw that it was guarded. A knight stood at the center of the bridge, clad head to toe in black armor, motionless as a statue. His sword was drawn, its blade resting lightly against the stone, as if waiting. The moment Arthur set foot upon the bridge, The Black Knight raised his weapon in silent challenge. Arthur called out, demanding passage. No response. He declared his name, his title, King Arthur of Camelot, wielder of Excalibur. Still, the Black Knight did not speak. He merely stood there, a shadow against the mist, a warrior with no need for words. The fight was inevitable. Arthur charged first, Excalibur gleaming as it met the dark steel of his opponent's blade. The first clash sent a ringing shock through the valley, the force of their strikes so great that the very stones beneath them seemed to tremble. It did not take long for Arthur to realize that this was no ordinary duel. The Black Knight's strength was monstrous, his sword swings carrying a force that could have shattered the bones of lesser men. Arthur had fought powerful warriors before, but this was different. The Black Knight did not move like a man. His steps were too measured, his endurance unnatural, his strikes relentless. Where most foes hesitated, faltered, or adjusted their stance, the Black Knight simply pressed forward, a silent, unyielding force of destruction. For the first time in years, Arthur felt himself being driven back, his shield dented under the force of each blow. His arms ached from parrying the onslaught. And through it all, the Black Knight did not slow, did not breathe heavily, did not waver. Arthur knew he could not win through brute force alone. He was strong, but the Black Knight was something else entirely, something beyond human strength. He had to outthink him, to end this battle before exhaustion claimed him. With a sudden shift, Arthur feigned an opening, lowering his sword just enough to bait his opponent into striking. The Black Knight took the bait, swinging his blade in a crushing arc. At the last moment, Arthur sidestepped, bringing Excalibur down with all his might. The Black Knight's sword shattered. The impact sent him staggering back, his gauntleted hand clenching at the empty air where his weapon had been. Arthur expected anger, perhaps even surrender. But the Black Knight did not speak. He simply looked at his broken blade, then back at Arthur. And without a word, he turned and walked away, vanishing into the mist as silently as he had arrived. Arthur did not stop him. Something in the way the Black Knight left told him that this was not a victory, at least not in the way he had hoped. He had won the fight, but he had not beaten the Black Knight, and that, more than anything, left him troubled. Hey everyone, just a quick intermission here. I wanted to say thank you for watching this video. It really means a lot to me. Did you know that over 80% of you who are watching right now aren't subscribed to the channel? If you've enjoyed this content so far, it would be incredible if you could hit that subscribe button. It's a small gesture, but it really helps the channel grow and ensures that you won't miss any more of our fascinating stories we explore together. Also, if you're feeling generous, please give this video a thumbs up, leave a comment, and share with anyone else who may enjoy it. Your support really does make a difference and keeps the content coming. Thanks again, and let's get back to the story. Of all the knights who crossed swords with the Black Knight, none came closer to true defeat than Sir Lancelot. If Arthur's battle had been one of strategy, Lancelot's was one of pure, unrelenting endurance. Two warriors unmatched in skill, locked in a fight that neither could afford to lose. Lancelot's encounter with the Black Knight took place deep within the heart of the forest. He had been tracking a group of raiders who had been pillaging the countryside, expecting to find little more than desperate men with stolen steel. But the deeper he rode, the more unsettling the path became. The usual sounds of the wild, chirping birds, rustling leaves, distant rivers, fell silent. It was as if the world itself had gone still. Then he saw him. At a crossroads stood a lone figure, clad in black armor, waiting in complete silence. His horse stood just as still, black as night, with burning eyes that glowed faintly in the dim light. The knight made no move to block the road, nor did he speak. He merely stood, his sword already drawn, as if he had been expecting Lancelot all along. Lancelot did not need an introduction. He had heard the stories. This was no ordinary warrior, no bandit or rogue knight. Unlike Arthur, Lancelot did not hesitate. He was a man of instinct, and instinct told him that there was no point in words. If the Black Knight was here, it was for one reason. Without speaking, Lancelot drew his blade. The moment his sword left its sheath, the Black Knight charged. The force of their clash sent a shockwave through the trees, the sound of steel against steel ringing out like thunder. Lancelot, renowned for his speed and skill, moved with the precision of a master duelist. He dodged, parried, countered, each strike faster than the last. Yet, for every movement he made, the Black Knight matched him. Where Lancelot was quick, the Black Knight was relentless. He never hesitated, never faltered, never gave Lancelot an opening to exploit. Minutes turned to what felt like hours. Most duels lasted mere moments. One well-placed strike was often enough to end it. But this was no ordinary fight. The Black Knight fought like something inhuman, as if fatigue meant nothing to him, and for the first time in his life, Lancelot felt something unfamiliar creeping into his mind. Doubt. His strikes, which had felled giants and kings, were barely making the Black Knight move. Every attack was met with an equally powerful counter. Every defense he put up was broken down in mere moments. He had never met an opponent who could fight at this level, not even Arthur. The duel pushed Lancelot to his absolute limit. His muscles burned, his breath came in ragged gasps, but the Black Knight never slowed. If anything, he fought as if he had just begun. Then Lancelot made a mistake. He overextended, a single misstep, a moment of fatigue setting in at the wrong time. The Black Knight capitalized instantly, landing a blow that sent Lancelot crashing to the ground. His vision blurred, his head rang, and for the first time in his life, he was at someone else's mercy. The Black Knight did not strike the killing blow. He simply stood over him, watching. Lancelot, barely able to lift his sword, knew he had lost. And yet, something in him refused to accept it. Gritting his teeth, summoning every last ounce of strength, he rose. He was Lancelot du Lac, the greatest knight in the world. He had not come this far to fall now. With a final desperate strike, he put everything he had into his blade. A single perfect slash, one that would have cleaved an ordinary man in two. The Black Knight staggered. For the first time, Lancelot saw him take a step back. He did not fall, but it was enough. The two warriors stood there for a moment, breathing heavily, staring at each other. Then the Black Knight did something unexpected. He nodded. Without a word, he turned and walked away, vanishing into the forest like a ghost. He did not call after him. He simply watched, his body trembling, his sword hanging loosely in his grip. He had survived, but for the first time in his life, he was not sure if he had won. Sir Gawain's encounter with the Black Knight was unlike the battles fought by Arthur and Lancelot. Where Arthur's duel had been a test of leadership and brute strength, and Lancelot's had been a grueling contest of endurance and skill, Gawain's fight was something else entirely. It was not just a matter of swords and shields, but a clash of something deeper, will, understanding, and perhaps fate itself. The encounter began with a hunt. Gawain had been tracking a rogue knight, a man who had terrorized villages and left a trail of destruction in his wake. The pursuit led him deep into the countryside, far beyond the familiar roads of Camelot, into lands where the trees grew taller and darker, their branches twisting unnaturally toward the sky. The further he rode, the heavier the air became. It felt as if he had crossed into a place that did not welcome him, a place where the laws of men held no power. Under the light of a full moon, he finally saw him. The Black Knight stood within the crumbling ruins of an ancient fortress, his sword planted firmly in the ground before him, waiting in perfect stillness. Unlike the other encounters with this figure, there was no sudden charge, no immediate clash of steel. The knight simply stood there, as if he had known Gawain would come, as if he had been expecting him all along. Gawain did not hesitate. He dismounted, stepping forward with the same confidence he had carried into countless battles before. The Black Knight did not move. There was no acknowledgement, no challenge spoken aloud. Instead, for the first time in all the tales of his appearances, the Black Knight broke his silence. His voice was deep, almost hollow, as though the weight of ages rested upon it. He told Gawain that this fight would not be like any other. There was something unnatural in the way he spoke, something that made Gawain's instincts tighten, but pride was always his greatest flaw. He welcomed the challenge, eager for something different, something beyond the usual battles against mortal men. Without another thought, he drew his sword, stepping forward to meet his opponent. The first clash of their blades sent a ringing shock through the ruins, the steel singing beneath the weight of the impact. From the moment their swords met, Gawain knew something was wrong. The Black Knight was impossibly fast, anticipating every strike, countering every move with a precision that seemed beyond human reflex. It was as if he already knew what Gawain would do before he did it. There was no hesitation in his attacks, no wasted effort. He fought with a cold, relentless efficiency, his movements eerily smooth and calculated. Gawain gritted his teeth, pushing himself harder. He had fought giants, sorcerers, and monsters pulled from the depths of legend. He had bested warriors who claimed to be invincible. He refused to believe that this nameless knight, this shadow lurking in forgotten ruins, could be something beyond his reach. Then, in a moment of perfect timing, Gawain's blade found its mark, cutting deep into the Black Knight's side. And nothing happened. No blood spilled, no cry of pain followed. The Black Knight did not so much as flinch. A gauntleted fist crashed into Gawain's chest, sending him flying backward. He hit the ground hard, his breath driven from his lungs. He scrambled to his feet, eyes locked on the wound he had inflicted. The Black Knight straightened, the gash in his armor visible, yet there was no sign that it had affected him in the slightest. Gawain had seen many things in his life. He had seen death, seen warriors fall, seen the weakest wound bring down the mightiest of men. But this was different. The Black Knight did not bleed. A slow realization crept over him. He had assumed this was just another opponent, another warrior to be bested through skill and strength. But now, standing across from this silent, unyielding figure, he understood that this was something else entirely. He demanded to know what he was fighting. The Black Knight did not answer, but something worse happened instead. He laughed. It was not the laugh of mockery or cruelty. It was something ancient, something knowing. It was the laugh of a man who had fought this battle 100 times before and already knew how it would end. For the first time in his life, Gawain hesitated, and in that hesitation, he lost. The Black Knight's blade moved faster than sight, striking with inhuman speed. Gawain's sword flew from his grasp. A second blow sent him reeling, his back slamming against the cold stone of the ruins. He gasped for breath, his hands clenched into fists against the dirt. He had been defeated. But the Black Knight did not finish him. He did not move in for the kill, did not raise his weapon for the final strike. He simply stood there, watching, as if waiting for something. Slowly, painfully, Gawain pushed himself to his knees. He was wounded, humiliated, exhausted, but something deeper gnawed at him. He had landed a strike. He had wounded his opponent. And yet, if this knight was no ordinary man, if this was something beyond the world of mortal combat, then what had been the purpose of the fight? And so, for the first time in his life, Gawain did something no knight of Camelot had ever done. He lowered his head. He reached for his sword, not to fight, but to lay it down before him. The Black Knight did not move at first, but then without a word he turned away. Gawain sat there, breathing heavily, watching the last traces of the Black Knight disappear into the night. The Black Knight went on to encounter many more knights and figures in the Arthurian legends. He was never a man who simply lived and died like any other. His existence was too steeped in mystery, too tangled in myth. He appeared when he was needed, fought those who dared to face him, and vanished when his purpose was fulfilled. Some say he was eventually defeated, struck down in battle by a knight whose name was lost to history. The tale varies from one storyteller to the next. In some versions, his killer was a nameless warrior, a forgotten champion who proved himself worthy by striking the Black Knight down. In others, it was one of Arthur's own knights, though none could agree on which. Some claimed Lancelot was the one to do it, but if that were true, he never spoke of it. Others swore it was Gawain, but no bard ever sang of such a feat. And then, there were those who believed it was none of them, that the Black Knight had fallen to some unknown warrior in the distant lands beyond Camelot, where the old ways still ruled, But for every version of his death, there is another that claims he never died at all. There are stories of knights who encountered him long after Camelot fell, long after Arthur was gone, and the Round Table was nothing more than legend. Wandering knights, seeking to prove themselves, spoke of a silent warrior in blackened steel, standing upon bridges blocking lonely roads, appearing at the edge of battlefields where the desperate fought for their lives. He was no longer bound to a single age, no longer tied to Arthur's time. He had become something more. There are those who believe he was not a man but a curse, an eternal force tied to the concept of knighthood itself. As long as there were warriors who sought glory, there would always be the Black Knight. He was the test, the challenge, the shadow that loomed over those who thought themselves invincible. And then, there is the strangest theory of them all, the one that suggests the Black Knight was never truly separate from those who faced him. Some say that he was not a man of flesh and blood, but the embodiment of the darkness in a knight's own heart. He was pride, arrogance, unchecked ambition. Every warrior who stepped onto the battlefield carried him within them. He was the opponent that could never truly be beaten, because he was the battle against oneself. But no matter which version one chooses to believe, one thing is certain. The Black Knight's legend never faded. And when the time comes, when a warrior rides forward with a heart full of pride, believing himself unconquerable, the Black Knight will be waiting, ready to fight once more.